Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dear Abby. I'm your host, my name is Abby. Welcome back to your favorite cozy podcast. I've said that 2 weeks in a row, I'm just hoping that it sticks subconsciously so that you like to listen to my podcast more. I have had a great week. This was a great week. I went to Idaho, which I've never been to Idaho before. I've heard it's beautiful, and I was blown away by the beauty of that state. It was so green and luscious and enchanted vibes. I saw so many birds that I've never seen before. I saw a river otter on the river, a real life river otter. I love otters. Every time I go to the zoo or aquarium, anything, the otters are my favorite things. I just think they're the cutest, sweetest. They have the best energy. They're just playful, sweet. They're like dogs. They're, you know, like water dogs, basically. They love to play. They just like to swim around. They like toys. Basically a dog. So I love the energy of that. It makes me feel so happy. My husband and I were just sitting and camping by a river, and it was beautiful. I was scared of bears, of course, the whole time. I am constantly scared of bears, and I am a little bit not fully relaxed because I'm a little bit on edge in case a bear comes. I don't want it to sneak up on me. But we had bear spray. But we were sitting on the river. I didn't know there were river otters there. I just assumed there would be birds. I didn't really, and fish. But I saw this tiny, tiny, tiny little wave going across the river from one side to the other. And it's a pretty small river. And it's pretty slow, but it's still moving. And at first I thought it was just a bird or a duck or something. But because it was still pretty far, so I could barely see. And then I pulled out my handy dandy binoculars, looked through the binocular lens, and what do I see? The cutest little river otter face I have ever seen in my life, fully doing the backstroke, belly out of the water, feet out of the water, kicking, and its head was just poking up, looking up at the sky, doing the backstroke from one side of the river to the next. And then a second one came along right behind it, and they went back and forth grabbing leaves. They must have been building their home or doing something, or I don't know what they eat. They kept going back and forth, bringing stuff from one side of the river to the next, and they went into this little cave looking cove thing, and they were so tiny. They were like probably the size of two hands, and they're really skinny. Like they were like three fingers. Like they were tiny, tiny. It took everything in me to not want to get closer and closer because I didn't want to disturb them. They were just doing their thing. I didn't want to scare them, but I wanted to I got cute aggression towards them, but I kept my distance and I just watched with my binoculars as they went back and forth. I could have done that all day. That was the highlight of my trip, along with, seeing my family. We had like a little family get together. And it's just always nice when your siblings live all over the place. You guys get to hang out all together. I have five siblings, so there's six kids. It was the 4th of July, so there was something so special about celebrating the 4th of July with my family in a beautiful place. It was a wonderful weekend. Great food. Everybody cooked. There was the cutest moment where one of my older brothers was teaching my youngest brother how to cook. Specifically chicken Alfredo. So we had a fettuccine Alfredo, like chicken pasta. Everyone was in charge of a dinner. My older brother and my youngest brother were in charge together. And seeing my older brother teach the baby how to cut up chicken, how to cook the chicken, how much does it need to cook, when is it done, all of these things, I don't know why it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. And they made an amazing dinner. So props to them. I hope everybody else had a great weekend. Today's episode, before we get into the meat, I'm going to do dubs and L's. But the meat of today's episode is I wanted to talk about the worry and the rumination that comes after what if thoughts, and how much what if thoughts and that mindset and living in that fear of the what ifs is so clearly damaging. And also, I want to kind of identify specifically what that is, at least what it's felt like for me and what I've heard it's felt like for other people experiencing a lot of what if thoughts and worries, because I think identifying what's happening is the first step. One of the first things is you have to identify what is actually happening, because then you can take actionable steps and you know what to look for. Versus sometimes if people just say what if thoughts, it's hard to really know what that is. And I think when you live in your head a lot, you feel stuck in your head sometimes, it all feels very jumbled together. So it's hard to identify that. So I wanted to just specifically talk about what if thoughts and how to react to it, and kind of the point of OCD recovery specifically with thoughts and from my experience. So that's what we're going to talk about. But before, I'm going to chit chat for a few more minutes, if you will, about dubs and L's. So my dub for this week, and then we're going to do a Dear Abby. Sorry. Okay. Just feeling scatterbrained. Okay. Dub for this week. One, I was successfully able to not distract myself with music while working, and successfully able to communicate one time gently that I felt overwhelmed and anxious, communicated my needs in a calm, quiet manner, which is what I wanted to do, so that way it can be received well, so I can actually get my needs met and I can meet my own needs and things will not escalate and my emotions will not get out of hand. And I was able to do that. So I'm very proud of myself. And to be specific, sometimes with my worry, which is what we're talking about later in this episode, but sometimes when my family or friends or somebody says a joke and I'm already feeling a little bit iffy with my mental health, I feel very sensitive and I'm fighting a lot of thoughts of self-loathing, self-doubt. I'm really fighting with these thoughts and with these feelings within myself, and I feel kind of weak in that area sometimes. It's just a weakness that I've had, and I know sometimes it can be my strength because there's things that I have learned from battling with that stuff. And at the same time, it is still a weakness, and I have to be super aware that it is something I struggle with still. Is battling with that self-esteem and that worth and that shame. So I feel sensitive sometimes when somebody is maybe teasing, and I don't want to be teased in that moment because it's just kind of confirming things that I'm already thinking and I'm trying to not think about myself. And so normally when I would be quiet, not say anything, shut down, and be pouty, not really pouty, just like I don't want to talk. Like I just feel my heart is closed off. I feel sad. I feel hurt. I feel unloved. I don't want to express my needs because I'm scared they're not even going to be cared about if I did. And then that usually ends up making things worse, because then I'm in someone else's eyes, I'm just being rude and I'm not as responsive. I am not as engaged in a conversation. I'm a little bit elsewhere. And that's because I kind of am. And as much as I really want to not take things personal, it's just hard sometimes. And so I did do this a couple of times the past couple of weeks, but there was one specific time where I felt like that flood of, okay, I'm feeling all of these negative things. My mind is racing with thoughts about, you always do everything wrong. You always mess everything up. Of course you said that. That's such a dumb thing to say. Like, why can't you just say the right things? Why can't you just not care about stuff and not feel this? And why can't you just be normal is normally kind of where it lands. I've noticed that pattern, even though I can intellectualize that pattern and I can notice it. It still in the moment feels very heavy, and I do feel those things, and that is how I'm feeling, and I don't necessarily believe it, but that is my experience in the moment. It's helpful for me. So I learned that instead of just being quiet and letting that escalate in my head and externally by ignoring or dozing off or disassociating or something and just staring blankly, I noticed that my thoughts were going down this whole it was escalating to more meaner and meaner things about myself in my head. To be specific, I was just in the car. We were driving 13 hours to Idaho. It was a long drive and I was feeling anxious and I was feeling overwhelmed just because when you've been camping and driving for a week, it's just, you feel a little bit crazy. And so I was in the car and my husband, I think he corrected something that I said, something like that. Like he wasn't trying to be mean. He wasn't trying to make me feel bad. He wasn't trying to do any of these things. And that's how it made me feel, because I was already, again, struggling with these thoughts internally and just struggling mentally. And so even if someone says something as simple as, like, maybe you should try that a different way, or maybe you should do that a different way, that is painful. That is like a signal to my brain that there is something wrong with me, because why did I mess that up? It's so easy, whatever. And instead of going quiet, I just very softly said something along the lines of, I feel really anxious right now. I'm kind of struggling. So if I'm quiet, it's not because I'm mad or anything. It doesn't really have anything to do with you. I'm just kind of struggling right now. Thanks. Thank you and goodbye. And that's all I said, because I can't really talk a lot when I'm overwhelmed like that, because I just feel so fake. I just feel so fake and it feels so weird. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of faking your way through life, in the sense of if you feel unsatisfied with your life or if you feel like you're missing something, then search for that, because I believe that that's something that you can find. Because why would you have a hole in your heart, or why would you have a void if you can't fill it with something? Like, I don't know. So I don't like when people just tell you to shove your feelings down and just get the job done all the time. And there's times and places for that, and I think that's an awesome thing sometimes, but not every day, all day, your whole life, and then you realize you are just numbing yourself. Anyways, so that was a dub. That was a long dub. Sorry. My L was probably the fact that every other time I got upset, the past couple weeks, I go quiet, and I think I just am struggling emotionally and mentally a little bit more. And when that happens, I do struggle to let somebody know that I'm struggling, because like, I'm okay, you know, I'm okay. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I'm still struggling to do the normal things and just to be able to love myself and love life and do the things that I want to do. So I guess there's a reminder that even if you're 10 months, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years into recovery of OCD or whatever you might be struggling with, you still are able to have compassion, and you still are able to be kind to yourself and forgive yourself for your shortcomings and for times that you mess up. You're still able to pick yourself up and move forward, dust yourself off and move forward. It's not like a, oh, okay, you're past the 5-year recovery mark. Now you can never have self-compassion again because everything's fixed. That's just not how life works. So there's your reminder if you need that. So the meat of today's episode, like I said, we're talking about what ifs. We're talking about what if thoughts. Step one, what are what if thoughts? Everyone kind of knows what this is, but I want to be super specific so that way it's easier to identify if you are having what if thoughts, and more specifically, what the damaging part is, because the thoughts aren't the problem necessarily. It's your reaction to those thoughts, and you're wanting to solve the what ifs, and you're wanting to respond and answer and fix and go through every scenario, what ifs, and how to fix it, and actually maybe you perform physical compulsions to fix the what ifs, and so on and so forth. So how to actually identify what if thought is pretty simple, but it does take awareness to your thoughts to like, okay, I'm ruminating about something. I'm trying to figure something out, but I can't seem to get an answer and I can't seem to feel like it's resolved. What am I trying to solve? And if you find out that thing you're trying to solve is a what if thought, like, what if you are going to hell and you're just, that your whole life is just trying to not do that and to just ruminate about what if you were, Or maybe you notice that you're spending a lot of time researching things instead of hanging out with your kids, or instead of being present with your husband, or instead of doing something that you love or that you wanted to dedicate time to get better at. And so instead of doing those things, which are actually living and experiencing life, you are stuck on your phone, almost annoyed with people that are trying to talk to you because you're so hyper-focused on this fear and you're trying to solve something. And so if that is something that you're doing and then you identify, okay, wait, what am I trying to solve for? It most likely will go back to a what if. So that's one way to try to find it, at least that's how I sometimes identify. I'm like, wait, what am I solving for? And what is the what if that is coming up or something? Because sometimes it's not as clear as like, what if I am a bad person? It sometimes it does feel that clear. But sometimes it is a little bit more mushy in your mind because you maybe got a lot going on up there and in here. But other times it can literally be as simple as you're working, typing away or doing something. Then a thought pops into your head saying, what if you have cancer and that little tingling thing in your finger the other day was cancer? And you're like, what if that was cancer? And then you start to check a bunch of stuff. Another example, what if my spouse is cheating on me? What if my boyfriend is cheating on me? So there's 1,000 examples of what these what if thoughts can be. And they can change. It can be the same one over and over again. It's really just up to your brain, just whatever it's thinking that day. Step one for me is usually to identify what the what if thoughts are. What are they surrounding? Are they really specific? Are they more broad? Find that out. Really be curious about what's going on inside in your head as well, and be curious about it, not scared. And even if like at first you're scared, because some of those things can be kind of scary. So why do they feel so real? And coming from not a therapist, not a professional, this is just my experience, because it floods your brain with these what if thoughts. And then they escalate from there. Like, well, what if this? Okay, then what if that happens? And this is going to happen. Then what if that happens? If that happens. And so pretty soon your brain is like sending you thousands and thousands of thoughts every week, every month, every day about these same types of things and the same types of worries. So of course it's going to feel real because you're like, well, why would my brain be sending me this when really it's just misfiring? It feels so real because of sensations in your body. So we talked about this before, and there's a lot of studies that have been done. A lot of therapists, professionals do talk about why OCD feels so real or why anxiety feels so real, because you are having a physical experience to it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the thoughts, the themes are accurate or real in the sense that they're true, or that that's something you want to do, or that it's something that is actually happening. But you are having some type of an experience in your brain, in your body, that's an OCD experience or an anxiety experience. And it's not attached to the theme at all. It's really not attached to the theme at all. It's just the anxiety and OCD experience. And that is real. You are experiencing anxiety or OCD. So in my head, that's why. So in my head, that makes sense why it feels so real, because you are experiencing those types of symptoms that come with anxiety. Your brain's going to do anything it can to convince you so you can fix this from not happening, whatever the what if thing is. The what if thoughts aren't the part that's making you feel the worst. And the what if parts and the what if questions and the thoughts are not the thing that is making you feel worse and worse and worse and keeping you stuck. It's the reaction to the what if thoughts. Sometimes, even now with recovery from anxiety or OCD, there's like these thoughts that come up that are what if thoughts. And it makes me feel, because I've done a lot of recovery work, exposures, you know, books, self-help stuff, and I've felt really good and felt way better before. Then when I keep having what if thoughts, or when I have intrusive thoughts, I always think, okay, hold on, is there something I'm doing wrong still? Like, why am I still having these thoughts? And I really need to get to fix it so I'm not having these thoughts anymore. And even now, even though I know how OCD works and I know that you're not supposed to suppress or push away the thoughts, it still is almost second nature to me to want to push away the what if thoughts because they're uncomfortable or just like, I know they're not useful. So I want to push them away. But that act of pushing them away and being so focused on never having them again, it makes it so they're all consuming when they do show up still. A reminder that, you know, recovery and feeling relief from anxiety and OCD isn't about having no more anxious thoughts or having no more intrusive thoughts or intrusive feelings or anything like, or urges or anything like that, because the whole idea is your response to those sensations, to those thoughts need to change. So you're not scared of the fear that those bring, and that you can get closer to yourself and you can be more in tune with yourself. That way you have that self-trust, that self-love and self-compassion that can really help you like make leaps and bounds in recovery and starting to feel good and happy. Don't put so much pressure on yourself to be rid of all anxiety, to be rid of all OCD. I'm going to be rid of all of this and I'm never going to feel scared again and I'm never going to have anxiety or feel the sensation again. That's just going to set you up for more shame or more upset when you realize that it's just a part of life that you might have this for the rest of your life. And you might have these thoughts and these what if come up. So then if you have them, and if you might have these thoughts your whole life, then what do you do from here? Maybe it's time to think about, how is my response now helping me? And is it at all? What is my response to those what ifs? What am I trying to solve for? And what good is that doing? Is that helping me live my values? Is it helping me get closer to the people that I want to get closer to? Is it helping me just feel peace? Do I feel any peace at all, ever? Because with OCD, you rarely feel any peace at all. And that is like what it strips you from. And that is the most depressed I've ever been in my life because I had zero peace. I went from feeling really peaceful, loving the sunset, loving the songs of birds, loving something as simple as a cactus and finding beauty in that, to having that be stripped away and being scared and being fearful of anything that is beautiful or fearful of anything that is fearful of anything. And instead of feeling peace, I was scared of peace. I couldn't be at peace because I had constant intrusive thoughts and everything that I cared about, OCD was attacking. So everywhere I looked for peace, it was trying to steal away from me. And so OCD rips away your peace. That is like one of the first things that went when I was chronically struggling with OCD was my peace. It was just immediately taken away and I didn't know how to find it. And I remember feeling like I was never going to feel peace again. I remember forgetting what it was like to feel safe in your head, to feel safe in your body, and to feel safe with the fact that you're alive. I never thought that I would feel that again, and I didn't remember what it felt like. I didn't even think it was real after a while. I thought people were faking it when they felt at peace. I'm like, I don't understand how you get to that point because I feel so far from that. But the good news is, for me, my journey was with my faith and also therapy. It was like a fusion of both of them and really working on my faith. And sometimes faith can be frustrating for people or might sound shallow or just like, oh, you just needed to have more faith. If you're using that as if you're using that phrase as a way to shame people, then of course. And if you're using that as a way to undermine their feelings and also invalidate everything that they're experiencing, that is a horrible thing to say to somebody, is that they just needed to have more faith. But for me, in this specific experience with something that's like very heavily makes you struggle very heavily with doubt of everything, of a lot of things, I had to really focus on having faith in something. And that was a really cool thing to work on, was that. And I talk about that all the time, but it's because I'm very passionate about that. And that's what kind of flipped my OCD around, is choosing to just have faith in something bigger than me. And so anyways, a way to respond back to those what if thoughts instead of ruminating and making yourself suffer more and not allowing yourself to feel peace is to Let the what if thoughts be there. Let them surface. Let them finish the thought through if need be. Don't try to suppress a thought or cut the thought off. Just like be like, what are we feeling? What's happening? I feel a little bit overwhelmed in the head. Let's just take a second. Maybe close our eyes or keep a soft gaze, and then let's go inward and just be curious about what's happening in our brain. Be curious about what the what if thoughts are and let them surface. Let them ask their what if thoughts. Let them ask you all those things. But instead of responding and answering and trying to figure it out and fix it for them, for our anxiety and our OCD, we can respond with something as simple as, I don't know. We can respond with not responding. Sometimes that's more helpful for people than to respond. For me, that's actually worked a lot more. That's actually worked a lot of the time, is instead of saying maybe, maybe not, because that felt too rehearsed for me. And it felt like it was another way to just kind of suppress feelings or thoughts, like to talk over things. I just didn't say anything to those thoughts and I just let them be there. And that was it. And so that's another response that you can have. I heard on the OCD Stories podcast that somebody one time was talking about their response to their OCD and those what if thoughts, and also their intrusive thoughts was a random word that they made up that may had no meaning. It was like, blah, 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 blah. And then that was their response to their what if thoughts. Which just obviously showed their brain that those thoughts are not important and I don't have to solve it. You don't have to answer to your OCD, okay? You don't have to answer to your OCD. You don't have to answer all those questions. In fact, you cannot answer those questions. You are missing information. So as smart as you think you are, and you are probably pretty smart, you are missing an infinite amount of information that'll help you answer some of the impossible questions that you have. So it is also a humbling experience when you go through OCD recovery, I found, to really surrender and to really humble yourself to know that I don't know the answer to these what if thoughts, and that is kind of scary. And also thank goodness that I don't, because that's a lot of pressure that I don't think I can handle. So that's those are some ways to respond back to what if thoughts. Something that was really helpful for me to really prioritize responding in a better way to those thoughts was by not just identifying the what if thoughts, but also identifying how it's hurting the people in my life or it's hurting me, and how it's making me live in this rigid black and white shell of myself, to remember how badly I want to break free of that, to remember how badly I want to trust without bounds. I want to be able to live without constantly shaming myself, being so mean to myself. I want to be able to practice my faith, even if it's not perfect. And even if I don't understand everything totally, but I still value that. And I want to practice that. And yeah, just you can write down, because sometimes, again, if you have a lot of noise up here, writing it down makes it so you're writing it down, you're getting it out of your head. It's starting to come to, you're starting to make actual sentences instead of it just being mush up here. So writing that down, so writing down what solving those what if thoughts, what is that doing for you, good and bad? Is that allowing you to really live the life the way you want to live? And so there'll probably be a little bit of searching there to understand yourself and understand how you want to live. And also think about times that you felt free of your OCD or you felt free of those what ifs, and be specific about what that felt like. What were you doing? Where were you? Who were you with? What were your thoughts at that time? How did you think about yourself? What were you focused on? Because that will show you how to get back to that and give you that oomph, that grit. Respond back to your what if thoughts in the way that gives them no power, and to take charge of your own life and take charge of the direction of your life. Because as a reminder, nobody is going to save you. And that sounds mean sometimes when I say it, but that's just the honest truth, is you have to do the work you have to respond differently next time. And so writing that stuff down and remembering why you want to recover and why you want to respond better is important. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or something, and I'm not even that old, but I am getting older. I'm close to 30. I've just thought about how you kind of can waste time in this life, which might sound like I'm being negative, but I actually really believe that you can waste a lot of time in this life. And I used to not want to think about it that way. Like, you know, you don't really waste time. And to be specific, I'm talking about when you're wasting time worrying, when you're wasting time ruminating about things that you will never be able to figure out because you have missing information. I'm talking about times that you are being mean to yourself, you are tearing yourself down, you're tearing other people down. And what is it for? It's not for anything. I believe that things happen for a reason. And I also believe that you are fully in charge of your life and where you're headed with it. And that can be kind of scary and that can be overwhelming. And I think with my OCD specifically, that's something I didn't want to believe, is that I did have power to change my life around, because that made me scared that I was going to fail. And that was really hard for me to come to terms with. But once I did, it was life-changing, because I recognized that I am actually capable of helping myself, that I do control my own like destiny. And okay, last thing I'll say is something that I was thinking about because of my episode with my sister, when she was sharing that something that she does to help her anxiety is that when she gets a what if thought or an intrusive thought about what if you have this health thing and you're gonna die, basically. And instead of trying to research it or fix it or go down that rabbit hole, she's like, sometimes what's helpful for me is by saying 1,000 other things that could possibly happen, which is so helpful, because that's what I did for my exposure therapy a lot, was I would write down scripts and I would also write down stories, and I would write down all the what if fears, like what if I, and get really specific with it. So that way it kind of triggers you until you become bored almost with those what ifs. So that's another thing that you can do, is if you feel like you're being flooded with what ifs, then be like, okay, give me more what ifs. Like, what if this happened? What if this happened? What if this happened? And also, life is too precious to be wasted on what ifs. If you really take a second and think about it, life is a miracle. Life is truly a miracle. I know when I was depressed, I didn't think of it like that. It felt like a burden to be alive, but I know that that can change, and I'm grateful that it can, and I'm proof of that. And you have so much to live for. You have so many beautiful things that you are going to do with your life, and you have so much potential, and you have so many talents that you can give and gift to the world to help people, to help to enjoy life, to create beauty. And OCD and anxiety and wasting your time ruminating and worrying about the what ifs is such an annoying thing, because you do have so much that you can give to the world. And no matter what thoughts come back in your head when I say that, or no matter what combats that, then those are also just thoughts and they're not facts. So you have a lot to offer, and don't waste your time with the what if thoughts. Because those can be forever, and those will keep coming and coming and coming. You can't solve them, and they're not real. If none of this is helpful, and the one thing that is helpful is just simply being like, oh, that is a what if thought, and that is actually not real, then that's enough. You know, maybe that's just all you need. Okay. Now let's get into a Dear Abby, and then we'll wrap up today's episode. Before we get into the Dear Abby, just a reminder, people, just putting it out there that if you wanted to send in a Dear Abby, you can text or call and leave a voicemail at the number in the description below, as well as you can just DM me on Instagram, something really casual. I'm doing a DM today. I had it on my list of questions that I had on my Instagram story a couple days ago, and it's not actually an official Dear Abby because I have a couple more Dear Abbies, but I still wanted to answer this one because it was a question that I wanted to answer because it seemed important. Okay, moving on. So somebody sent me a question on my Instagram. Again, to reiterate, it wasn't a specific Dear Abby question, but I had people ask me questions on my story and I kept some of them for filler Dear Abby questions. And I also just really wanted to answer this question because I think it's a good one. And I also care about this topic and I wanted to help in any way that I can. The question was short and it just says, any tips for a newly divorced girly, I think is what the specific words were. I would honestly say the number one tip, having gone through a divorce, time will help you forgive and time will help you heal. Also, that you have to be so patient with yourself. And then when you think you're being patient with yourself, you have to be even more patient with yourself because divorces are so hard and they can be so messy and so confusing and there's a lot of emotions and it's just kind of a confusing time. And it's really disheartening because nobody gets married thinking that they're going to get divorced. That's not anyone's plan. Nobody wants that, but it does happen. And so coming to terms with that is hard. I remember being so confused that I was divorced. Like I was a divorced girl in my 20s was so weird to me. And I felt all the things. I felt silly. I felt dumb for ever trying to get married. And then I felt proud of myself for trying. And that's kind of where I landed, is just like I was doing the best that I knew how. And sometimes people get married when they're 19 and they are married their whole life and they're happy. Sometimes people get married at 19. It works out for 2 years and then the marriage is over. Life, there's no one right way to do anything, really. Relationships are complicated. I actually think, shockingly, something that helped me was realizing and pondering about what I did that didn't help my marriage and recognizing maybe there are some things that I can change in my next relationship. And not like fundamental things about myself. I think it's just the way that I handle conflict or arguments or the way that I handle if I get my feelings hurt or something. And that was a weirdly empowering thing to do because instead of just blaming it on the other person, I took responsibility as much as I could for the things that I also contributed to that dynamic and that relationship, which was a very freeing experience because sometimes I can, in breakups, it can feel tempting to just be totally, I don't know if jaded's the word, but just be like, they suck, I'm right about everything, they're bad. In some cases, it kind of is like that, but in a lot of cases, it's just complex human beings being complex human beings, and in timing is off, or life experiences make you a certain way, and it just didn't work out or something. As tempting as it can be to just be like, I'm good, they're bad, black and white thinking. But I think deep down, we all know we're not perfect and we all do things that we're not proud of. And we're like, oh, I kind of should have handled that a different way. And it feels good to change that stuff and to like get better at that stuff. So that's something that when you're ready and when it feels like, okay, I'm ready to start thinking about ways that I can better myself, not for necessarily only the sake of others, but for the sake of myself and experiencing relationships better and enjoying relationships more and enjoying being in my own head more. So I think those are the things that I think of first. But yeah, anytime you think you're being patient or compassionate to yourself, you're probably still not being compassionate or patient enough. Always, always take time for your feelings. If you feel big out of nowhere because of your divorce, or you know, you don't know if it's directly tied to your divorce, but it has something to do with relationships or just anything, like take time to feel that and to let your heart feel that hurt, because on the opposite end, someday you're going to allow your heart to feel the happiness and to feel the healing. So just take things slow and look inward. It can be a really eye-opening and wild experience to go through a divorce. Yeah, divorce sucks and it's freaking hard and it hurts like heck and it hurts your heart very badly. All of that is very real and it sucks and it is confusing and it is a journey to get back to a place of opening your heart again, not even to date, just in general. Okay, well, that is it for today's episode. It is 5,000 degrees in my department right now. in my department, in my apartment right now. And I also have these lights burning on my face. So I'm starting to feel a little bit weird. So I should probably wrap it up anyways. But thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Dear Abby. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave a rating and a review on Apple and Spotify podcasts, as well as you can like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. I post all of my podcasts on there. And if you want to go above and beyond, you can leave a Dear Abby submission in the number to the number in the description below, as well as share the podcast if I post something on my story, to share it to your story on Instagram, or just share it on Facebook or wherever you post, basically, or on TikTok, whatever. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. Have a good week. Love you. Bye. Keep on looking, 바꾸는 사람들.